You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to a very special episode of Axe to Grind. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I am Tom. And when Pat says that, it reminded me of like the special, like different stroke shows. Yep. Where it's like, you want to watch this with a parent.
Yeah. What you don't know is that before recording started, Patrick cut his pinky finger off. So it's going to be a real screamer.
Everybody, it's not, we do what we do. This is 300, but we do what we do with a type of elegance that doesn't require bombast. So while I say it's a very special episode, really, we're just bullshitting. It's just going to be a fun time.
Yeah. You know, grind regularly, celebrate rarely. Let's get this. shout out to our wonderful, excellent, admirable, and most appreciated sponsors, To Live a Lie.
Yes.
Closed casket activities.
Yeah.
Run for cover.
Uh-uh.
And Convulse Records.
Yep.
All these labels are staying busy. Closed casket, super busy this week. Shout out to the new and grown record.
Boise on top.
But we're just going to keep it right there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. by supporting them, you let them know, and they continue to support us. We don't got any special codes or blah, blah, blah anymore, but feel free to let them know in the notes that Extra Grind sent you. Guys, how you doing? How you feeling?
Feel good. You know, I don't know if talking on air is a major accomplishment, but we've done a lot of episodes, and I am proud of our work.
Tom,
very understated. Patty, I'm good. It's 8:30 on a Monday. I know. Fucking hanging out. Pat's fucking just being like, it's cool. Like I just do whatever, man. It's just, you know, I'm an artist.
I just do what I do, man.
You know, it's up to other people. You know, it's up to other people to say, you know, whether or not I'm legendary.
Look, man. But sometimes it's just, you know, Pat'll write something on the toilet and it'll go viral.
Yeah, that's how it be.
And it's just people look at it as this inspirational quote, and it's just some bullshit Pat made up on the toilet. It's just what it is.
It is what it is.
I've got a couple internet topics to talk about today, but that got me in trouble.
Let's celebrate first.
It got me in trouble last week.
It gets you in trouble every week.
Ooh, love the internet topics.
And so, first of all, I'm going to take over for a second. I would like to thank and congratulate my partners in crime for 300 episodes of talking about hardcore, and that we've done this, you know, pretty much without missing one for like 6 years. We are the most consistent part of hardcore. Bands have blown up, have started, have broken up, and we have been around for all of it.
It's true.
So I'd like to thank Pat and Bob for all like their hard work on this stuff. It's not easy with family stuff and living across the country and touring the world and also across the country, across the globe and touring and all this kind of stuff. So I just want to thank you both for your patience with everything and like your dedication to all the hard. This is hard work. Even when we're bullshitting, you know, like it's fun. It's always fun. It's always fun, but it's a lot of fucking work. And we push, you know, we do a lot of blowback sometimes, and you know, people take things in the wrong kind of way, and we have to like negotiate shit all the time, and we have people, you know, and I want to thank everyone that like we have people that like joined up, you know, A2G1, or people that started, you know, A2G 100 and went back, you know, and listen to everything and consistently listen every week. And, you know, and we have wonderful conversations and, you know, and I think you can hear the stuff that we've talked about over the years and the way we've discussed things have become, you know, for lack of a better term, and not to blow our own horn, but like toot toot, like the standard of how people talk about music and hardcore. Ain't nobody was saying adjacent about music until we said it.
I'll pat myself on the back, but here's the one accomplishment. I'll
pat myself on this motherfucker.
Well, I'm here's one thing I will say that I'm proud of this. I guess this has not made me hate hardcore. And to talk
about, made me love it even more.
That's what I was thinking the other day. I was having one of my walks where I was just reflecting on like topics that are so minute and niche and stupid. And I always have those moments of clarity where I'm like, holy fuck, if I grabbed the next person that I walk by and said, hey, I mean, like Crown of Thorns, overrated or underrated in 2023, they would have.
Right. You know what, though? There's millionaires that do that about fucking basketball players on ESPN every day.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Kevin Durant don't know your name.
That's true.
Isaac knows our names.
Well, here's the thing.
Isaac knows your old address.
That's true. So here's the thing. I'm grateful that talking about something every week incessantly has not spoiled it in any way. Also, you know, look, we don't get into the gossip shit, but we also, when you get a view behind the curtain of anything, it can really ruin stuff for you. And we get more of a view now because people, it's not just our friend circle that contacts us about stuff. It's a whole world of people. So seeing behind the curtains on a lot of stuff can be discouraging for people, but it hasn't really had that effect on me. I'm still very happy to talk about this every week.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed every Monday morning.
Yes. But thank you both, for sure. But
it's very warm, Pat. Thanks, man.
Bob, unless you have some what do you call them at the superlatives to dole out?
I won funniest and most unpredictable. Okay. Are we talking? I'm sorry, I was tuned out. No, thank you to both of you. Tom, that was very kind. I appreciate that. We all collectively put in a lot of work. It's a lot of different directions, and it is a cool thing. I will use this as an opportunity to tell people that working with others is a very fulfilling thing. It doesn't always work the way you would want it to, but I thank you both for our ability to navigate our strengths and weaknesses together and get through those things to do a really cool thing. Because Pat, more so than Tom here, will understand this, but with comic books, but you know, also other things, there's milestones like, oh, this is issue 50, this is issue 100. Issue 300 was always a big deal to me. I remember just thinking of how big a number 300 is of a thing that comes out, you know, like once a month or once a week or whatever. 300 is a big number. Shout out to being able to do it, stay consistent. We work our schedules. I mean, honestly, we've done a really good job recently of making kind of being on a weekly sort of schedule work. But there's been other times that we've probably referenced it on here where we've, you know, all three of us have taken day, 2 days, 3 days, and we're like, all right, somebody's gone for X amount of time, or this person's gone for this time, and then you're gone this time. And we have recorded, you know, 10 episodes. I don't remember what the max was, but
I thought it was 18 over a weekend.
That's right.
When
we stayed in West New York. Yeah. We got a cheap hotel that was very nice, by the way.
It was quite nice. We had a beautiful view.
Yeah. But we used it literally as a studio. So all three of us.
And remember, I don't know if you remember when we did that, we finished and we were like, all right, cool. We were like set up through this. And then Pat decided to let us know last minute that he was going to be in Thailand for like another 3 weeks or something. Remember, I was going to hop over the fucking counter and murder him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, remember, he didn't tell it. And he was like, well, yeah. And then I go to Thailand for 3 weeks. We're like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, we just finished. So we'd have one for every day you'd be gone, every week you'd be gone. And he just tacked on arbitrarily another like 2 or 3 weeks. and then COVID happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, so, yeah. So shout out to everybody.
Shout out to all the contributors.
Oh, there's too many to name. At some point we will, but, yeah, it's cool. We're not going to spend the whole episode this. I will say this, and this is kind of an aside, but to ours, I haven't done those acts to grind, but I did it with another podcast I like, a big sports podcast, so it's not like some underground shit. But I was like, oh, you know what's funny? Let me listen to the March 15th, 2020 episode of this podcast. Yo, it's really wild to hear palpable craziness in full effect. It is a really interesting thing. Yeah.
So we have we'll end it on this. So there's 300 episodes. Everyone, all three of us, pick a number each of us, and we ask that everybody goes back to listen to that episode.
All right, sure, go ahead. Who wants to start?
200.
Thanks, Pat. Really working hard.
Does Tom see what you did there?
I don't. It just, you know, go back 200. See what we got.
Is there an episode 200? Yeah, there is. There's no episode 100. That's right. I think. There's a reason there's no episode 100, which we won't get into here. But I will say episode 77.
Okay, I'm going to say episode 138.
Okay.
Ooh, I almost said 69, but I was like, you know what? This is a family podcast. Yo, shout out to everybody. Very cool. Let's go.
All right.
Patrick, do we need to start a segment called like Internet News?
Yeah, because that's like, all I got.
Because it is a it's like we can document the Harambe of the moment.
Yep.
Every week in hardcore. So this week, Tom, do you think that the tip jar at the merch table should be shared equally by the band?
I mean, clearly, of course, because if I'm in like a tech metal band and the guy who's the person who's slinging my now, of course not. I think it's when that dude said that, I was like
insane.
I was so cringe. And he was like, this guy makes, well, number one, I would like to know. And if we have any, I mean, we definitely have friends out there that sell merch. We have friends out there that sell merch for gigantic bands. Mm. If any of you, like, we're not going to report you to the IRS. If any of you make $30,000 in tips over a 5-week tour, hit us up. Because Tesseract is probably big, but they're not that big. But they're saying that their merch guy makes $5,000 and $6,000 a week just on tips.
Just on tips is pretty. That's a pretty big number. I'd be shocked by that.
That's insane.
I do know merch folks who do pretty well.
I mean,
oh sure.
Say it gracefully, Patrick.
Shockingly well. It is.
Yeah, but you know what, though? They deserve every last penny for dealing with the people that they have to deal with.
Your job is infinitely harder than mine. I don't.
Yeah, let's
make much more money. It's fine.
Like, okay. Small level and medium level and big level. Let's do this really quick. Merch person going out with a DIY band. You know what? You're probably just selling shit. Maybe you're a friend. They're not cleaning house on tips, but if they are, fucking God bless them. Having to take care of stuff. Hopefully they're being the good buddy who's keeping track of merch. Hey, we're starting to get low on this. Not the one who's like, yeah, we sold out of those shirts yesterday. Yeah. You know, but hey, that happens too. And I'm not mad at you. We'll go to the next level, which is going to be small size merch person working for band that's doing well, but that isn't huge, whatever, whatever. When you enter that level where you're touring at clubs, you're having to count in and count out every night. You're having to deal with the big boogeyman of merch cuts. And how do you deal with that? As discussed by multiple people, the largest agreed upon lie of all time is your domain. That's your specialty. You're also having to deal with a lot of people come at the table, this, that, the actual selling, and then packing up at the end of the night. Let's go to medium size. This means you're probably dealing with a maybe box truck of merch. Like, I'm talking clubs. You know, we're dealing with your bigger band. You're not a stadium band, but you're big. Yo, you're doing countouts that are thousands of pieces, at least hundreds. You're having to deal with a lot of nonsense. You're having to navigate all that. You're having to do those things every day. You have an 8 hour a day job at the least. Some people I know doing this level are able to make a living on it, but it's not easy work. It's a, hey, this is what you do. When you speak to these people, you might think, man, that's pretty cool. You're getting to go out and sell shirts with a band. That's cool. Whatever, whatever. Much of the time, it is not glamorous. It is not fun. If you're lucky, you get the day off in Cincinnati. And many people I know deal with some serious depression because they aren't able to establish their life. And by the way, they're not chasing their dream of being in a band or expressing themselves or doing what they really love to do out on stage. They're selling shirts. And now I'm going to give you the last stage, which is the final boss of big touring. You're a merch person. You are basically a low person on a totem pole playing big, big venues, thousands of pieces of merch. Depending on what scale it is, you might be part of a crew who's doing this. And who knows if you actually even get cuts of a tip jar thing. You might, you hopefully do in 2023, but your job sucks. I have opted against doing that for large scale tours. Linkin Park Metallica tour? No, thanks. I'd rather not. Like, no thanks. I don't want to do that. So when I saw this discourse come up with a 4-page Instagram post by some tech metal loser, I was waiting to see some of our merch buddy friends melt down about it.
Well, you know, his whole thing was like, well, you know, our fans have come up to the table and think like, the tip, like they're tipping us when they give money. And I was like, are your fans that stupid? You know, you make money off the tickets. It's, you're not like, you know, it's the equivalent of being like, I go to, you know, a coffee shop and I tip the barista and I expect Starbucks to get it.
That's right. I'm thinking I'm tipping James S. Starbucks.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, and he just, I mean, and he was like, no, they, and then he, of course, he does the like notes apology a day later. Like,
oh, did he? I didn't see. Did he come back and had a hat in hand?
Yeah, let me find it. Give me 1 second.
Patrick, have you ever slung merch for a band?
I'm sure, yeah. Oh, yeah. When I was basically a kid, sure. I was terrible at it and I hate it. And I'll do anything to not do it. When my, you know, I mean, Drug Church was very hesitant about getting a full-time merch person because my band members were making a good amount of money selling merch themselves, and
sure,
they could all use that money. And but it was never a consideration for me. I like to leave after we play.
I don't want to like clock up to set time. And
I honestly, I mean, it's impractical because everybody talks to singers, right? It's like an unfair, but right. if you're a drummer, you get a little bit more latitude to people ignore you a little bit, but,
now, like, would Nick do merch?
I don't know if he would do merch. Chris has done merch, and Pat Wynn's a bassist that just looks so much like a normal dude that,
yeah, he probably could stand. No one would necessarily bother him.
Yeah, people like you. People ask him, "Hey, is the band punished. Gonna come out at all?" And he'll be like, "I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They probably all left." Hey guys, I would like to talk about my recent post to clarify the situation.
Okay, yeah,
we have not and will not be taking a cut of merch seller tips, and would never wish to. As a band, we do expect, yeah, you didn't say that before, you fuck. As a band, we do not expect tips at shows. However, we have had a number of generous fans donating tips at the merch desk, believing that they are or are in part reaching the band and touring party.
Yeah. Okay. Here's what I'm going to say.
I mean, if you're like going to see a tech metal band, is that possible that you think like,
yes,
I'm tipping like the lighting person because I'm giving them $10 when I buy an overpriced shitty shirt?
Yeah, look, this is me. You know, I like some metalcore, but I'm just going to be broad with this and say, metalcore gonna metalcore. You know what I mean? Like, this didn't shock me at all. I wasn't.
What do you mean by that? Are you using metalcore as a pejorative, Patrick?
Oh. Yeah, listen. In the same way that I think hardcore's got a lot of fucking knuckleheads who can't fucking do shit right. I think metalcore's got a lot of fucking knuckleheads who have basically zero contact with traditional DIY structures. Now, that does not mean that they do not take a lot onto themselves in a DIY fashion.
True.
They're just not from the same thing. And that is perfectly acceptable because it's nobody's fault where the fuck you're from. And also, frankly, we just take a lot of things in hardcore. Punk does the same thing. We take a lot of things as given from Moses, you know what I mean? Like, they're an tablature that we just think we have to do things a certain way.
Yeah, as opposed to there's no set of rules.
Right. Now, so it's not wrong to approach these things differently. This one just happens to be very stupid and very stereotypically metalcore. So I read that and I went, that tracks, you know what I mean? And it does for me track. I saw people, and it sounds like you guys feel the same way. I saw people saying, hey, is there something truly wrong with your fans that they believe that the merch guy's tips are going towards you? But I'm going to say, it is not difficult at all to believe that they have fans who think that. I think that is 100% true, that they have had those conversations.
And I think they also showed their ass by being like, they were pretty much like mad that like their merch person made more money than they did after the tour.
Well, here's what I thought was telling in that regard. When the guy does his little notes app apology ish thing, he says, yeah, it came to our attention that they're making a lot of money. And frankly, at this level, at the level of touring that we're doing, it's break even. That is not possible. And if it is, then you are doing,
it wrong.
You're doing everything wrong. Everything wrong. And
that man is like relatively popular.
Well, okay. You know that meme of it's somebody doing their budget and then there's an absurd thing at the end that accounts for on that all line the item. There's an absurd thing. It'll be like, you know, whatever it is. For me, it would be like $8,000 kombucha a month. And
right.
And then it'll say, my family is starving, please help, what do I do? And that's how this shit always reads, because I'm going to take him on face value. He's not lying. It is a break-even proposition. He definitely comes home with money. Let's not be stupid. But let's say that it's break-even, you know, finger quotes. Okay. He mentions production. Totally believable. I've never been to a Tesseract show. I wouldn't know where to find one, to be perfectly honest with you, but I do believe that
you could walk into one and not realize you're at one.
Yes, 100%. So I do believe.
Well, they're also from England.
They probably. Oh, okay. I mean,
Just to fact that in terms of cost and stuff, I just realized that.
So firstly, I'm going to say the offers that I'm getting from the UK and Europe are not strong right now, and I asked three booking agents why that might be, because I don't want to say insulted, but I was surprised at some of these offers that I'm getting, and their reply.
Like, I don't get out of bed for less than blank.
Well, I mean, I'll get out of bed for a lot of bullshit, but it's just, I really expected much larger offers given some of the things that we've gotten done the last couple of years. And we've gotten big offers in the past from Europe, but apparently Europe is in a depressed market in terms of show guarantees, something about travel and taxes and all this, a bunch of factors, I guess. Right. I don't think anybody was snowing me to make me feel better. I was talking to people who explicitly do not like to make me feel better. So, okay. You're from England. Maybe offers are not great. Or maybe they haven't
cost you more to get to the States. Maybe.
Right. Okay. And also if you're talking about production, I think I've told you guys, I was laying on a couch while 303's manager was having a conversation about tigers with laser beam eyes.
No more teachers and no more books. Yeah, 303.
So production is real and costly. I was listening to the budget on tigers with laser eyes, and it can add up.
Freaking lazy.
And okay, I believe that. And I also believe that Tesseract, I don't know them, and I don't want to presume too much, but it sounds like they probably don't want to do it in a rented 15-passenger van. You know, that's possible too. So if you do everything wrong, things cost money. You know what I mean? If you do everything wrong and if you can't entertain your crowd without, I don't know, fucking tigers and laser eyes, it's going to cost. And if you insist on sharing a bus with another band or whatever, then that's going to cost you money too. And it's not impossible to believe that they are not making a lot of money. It is impossible to believe, however, that an intelligent human being would look at it and go, the solution is to fucking dick my merch guy. That's right. Impossible. At
one hand, you're gonna be mad that the venues are taking 10% from your merch, but then you're gonna tax your merch guy.
I mean, look, the merch guy is going to make more than the band at a certain level, particularly if you just have a certain type of fan. If you have a certain type of audience that, I mean, I've seen this firsthand. There's some crowds that you can rely on them to be merch crowds. There's certain crowds you can rely on them not to be merch crowds, but they are really nice. And it's
right. And are free. Like they'll buy a $30 shirt and give you, you know, $220 and be like, keep it.
100%. And when you get, honestly, when you're in that level, like when we do tours where we're, like we've got a tour that I actually checked, fellas. I can't announce it because our shit goes up at 6 a.m. and the announcement goes out at 11. But tomorrow...
Yeah, that'd be a problem. Big news for Drug Church. We're excited for you.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I'm going to follow it around like a dead show.
Well, a relatively big tour that I don't imagine if we were able to sell our own shit, which I have no idea how this is working. I don't give a fuck about merch. But I don't think that our merch person would make a ton of money. However, a level below this, weirdly, the merch person would make a lot of money. So there's under a certain level, your merch guy's making nothing, as Bob said. And then there's a sweet spot where they're making a lot of money on tips, a lot of under the table stuff. Then there's a level where if you're a support band, your guy is not making very much money. And then there's a level above that, where, for example, our friend Mac, a friend of the show,
I was just going to bring him up,
has a really, you know, has a nice life and a career that is selling for big bands. And his
right. I saw him at MSG, for God's sake.
Yeah, not to get into his business, but his salary plus stipend plus tips, it adds up, and it's. He has a great life. And so
some of those things,
there's levels.
Right. There's a certain spot that like, he ain't getting tips anymore.
Yeah. Well,
because these venues are like, it's all venue sell.
That's yes. Right.
Death Cab for Cutie's not having Max sit behind his fucking table and be like, what do you need? A shirt? Like there's like somebody in a fucking half a tuxedo selling that at the fucking, you know, gate 128.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and definitely right. Like, and, the overlier there, there's no chance that there's anyone in the act performing. And this isn't to say it is a diss, like any of the acts that he goes out with certainly go out and do their thing on stage. I would bet Mac works harder on a daily basis than any of them because it's a job. It's work. And
it's 14 hours a day.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's way harder work than I do.
You're the first person there, and usually the first person finishing up, last person finishing up.
Yeah, it's also like, I mean, shout out to these bands that do, like when we think about things like meet and greets, we're like, that's like, you know, that doesn't touch our world or whatever. You know, the bands that do that shit, I have a lot of respect for them, not because I think that's cool. I think it's like, I don't think it's particularly cool. What I think is, I have respect for them. It is incredibly draining to have conversations with people that can only last 5 minutes, and therefore it's people want to talk to you about whatever they want to talk to you about.
Very concentrated.
Yeah. And I think I said this.
And everyone's got a story about like when I broke up with my girlfriend, when my dog died, when my father did that. It's like, oh.
Yeah. I think I've said this.
Petri dish, et cetera, et cetera.
I think I've said it on this podcast. And if I haven't, I don't think he would mind me saying it. But when on that last Bane tour, talked to Aaron, he was like, it's really, it's a lot because people, you know, it's a lot of interaction with people that you've had some type of impact on their lives, and they would like to express that. And it's
parasocial.
Yeah, but even if we take it in the most like positive way, it's just a lot. Like, how many people could you guys interact with in a day? Actually, Tom, I'm certain you probably interact with what 30.
I mean, if but I'm when I'm at home, I probably don't interact with three people in a week.
Right. No, so at your workplace, you interact with more people. Bob and I are more solitary in this respect, I think. Mm. But he
interacts with people like under 11. Yeah. So like for each one of those, that's like 10 people.
Well, I know guys who have maybe 5 meetings a day, each one lasting 15 to an hour. And that is the most draining thing. Like, I think I 100% I'd rather work construction. You know what I mean? Like, no doubt it would take less. It would take less.
Right, be on the first train into New York at 4:30 in the morning to not have to.
Yes, 100%. So, I don't know. I think that the merch person is harder working than we really a lot of people really recognize.
And on all levels though, because I mean, even talking to our friends like Mac or like our buddy Kent, like when they're doing these arenas, it's like, oh Jesus, like yeah, you have to be there at, you know, 1 o'clock or whatever the story is, mm-hmm. to make sure you have everything and you're counting it, you know, you're accounting for everything and then you got to clear it up at the end. They're not doing the like, you know, person to person transaction, but like you're responsible for so much other crap and you have to make sure that like, you know, oh crap, we ran out of this size. Like you got to make sure you get that size printed and to the next Coliseum, you know, at the right time or whatever. Like, there's so much fucking work that's involved, you know, and like, you know, you travel separately from the bands a lot of times, not on like the Pat level. But I mean, even that, like, you know, Pat, you know, Drug Church shows up to a show, Pat goes to get breakfast potatoes, their merch person's in the venue getting a good merch spot, setting it up, and then is there the rest of the day.
We're playing Fortnite while he's working.
Right. Right. So, I mean, they deserve whatever fucking extra money they do get.
Yeah. So, this is a we're not Team Tesseract on this, but I wish everybody involved the best of luck.
And I mean, you know what? Maybe, you know what though? Maybe like they're like at the forefront, they're at the bleeding edge. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, you just put like this little like QR code.
Oh, I mean, it's, we never,
that's what they're doing.
We never know when the dam is going to burst. And an idea that we think is like silly is just becomes the norm because somebody had the gall to say it. You know, you never know.
I bet you if they put a fucking a QR code at their merch table,
yeah,
and the singer points it out, I don't even know if they have a singer, they may be instrumental for all I know. If they point it out, I guarantee you, like the Venmo and Cash App donations will be coming in by a boatload.
Well, so this is an interesting question. Let's pivot this on its head based on that. How do we feel about that? Like if, as we continue to move forward, right? Like we see this, it's kind of a funny thing. It's this odd thing. Like I like buying stuff from bands as a way of support. I like that. I don't think everyone does. I certainly liked it a lot more when I was younger. I do it now just more just like, oh, that's nice. I'll buy this. I bought a long sleeve from a band I really like and was like, oh, we only have it in large. And I thought about it for a second. I was like, oh, I'm never, ever going to wear this anyway. So sure. Give me a large. I need an XL, but yeah, I need an XL, but sure. I'll take a large. It's fine. So I see it like that, but you know what? I also don't love having a bunch of stuff. If you really liked something, would this be something that would be odd to your sensibilities if it was like tip for bands, you know, like here's the QR code. You want to send us $2? Cool. That goes directly to us. You want to send us $5? Cool. That goes directly to us. You can click on our social media link tree and it's got a tip jar, whatever, whatever. Like, would we find that antithetical to punk, hardcore, et cetera, et cetera? Or would it be kind of this more direct support way of like, hey, yeah, I love your band. I listen to your shit on Spotify all the time. Your shit means a lot to me, blah, blah, blah. I don't like merch or I don't like your merch. I don't buy records or anything like that, physical media. But let me throw you $5. Boom.
Oh, I it would not shock me at all if that became a thing. It probably is on the pop punk level, honestly.
I mean, I do think it's weird though if it's like, you know, if I paid, you know, at this, I mean, some of these, I mean, not to sound like the fucking old man yelling at the cloud.
Yeah.
But some of these ticket prices are outrageous for like hardcore and hardcore adjacent shows. Dude, I looked up one and I'm not going to shame them. Mm-hmm. Like after Pat got asked to play with them, after their, like after like the fees or whatever, it was like $63. Mm. And I, you know, so like to me, it's like if that's what you're asking for, and I know you're not getting all of that and all that kind of stuff, but like to think like, you know, like, oh, I didn't like the, you know, the set list was better last time. I'm only going to give you a 5% tip. But like if you played the song I really wanted to say, well, I mean, I guess that's what you do. Like, if you're like trying to bribe a DJ to play like fucking Sweet Caroline or whatever, you
throw slip him a fin,
fiver,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I just think it's weird because you're already paying for the service.
For the band, for the, that, yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, you're not, no, yeah, like the ticket to the show. Yeah, totally.
Like it was a free show or like a cheaper show, and then you could like, they
get donations at the bar, right? Like that's, I mean, shout out to the workaround that has had to happen at different places where it's like a suggested donation, right? It's like, you don't have to pay the $5. That's fine. But, you know, like, pay the $5. Yeah, it goes to the band.
Right. And so many, like, you know, like bars and old restaurants and stuff, like, especially for folks that listen that are not in the States, like the United States, like, they, at restaurants, you get paid like $4 an hour. Because it's expected that your pay will be supplemented by people tipping you. So that's why in the States, like, everyone's like so willy-nilly just kind of tipping. You could be the worst fucking server in the world and you're still going to get something.
Yeah, I mean, I've known a great many people who give 20% even if the service is fucking terrible. And I think I probably am in the same boat just because I do it mindlessly.
Yep.
But
yeah, I just go 20. And if it's really good or if it's like,
yeah.
I don't think it's like, especially if it's a bunch of people out, you go like, was everyone going to get a dollar back? Or we give this person an extra 10. Let's give them an extra 10.
That's correct.
Like, who gives a shit? Like, is a dollar going to make a difference? But a $10, $10, if everyone did that, you know, throughout the day, they'd make a decent wage. You know, we're just, you know,
yeah, well,
it's socialism, goes, communism, people sharing their,
well, it's interesting because it's not, no, it goes to what we were talking about prior to this episode, our preamble, the idea of service industry being a very valid and valuable and like potent opportunity to work. Like, for the most part, there are servers in the country, in the United States, who make a living wage. But I don't know what percentage that is. 10%, 15%, who actually make enough to like buy, own a house.
Right, and there's certain places that like they forbid tips because they pay their servers
very well,
$20-something an hour, whatever the story may be. Yeah.
Right, and so yeah. Anyways, the idea of service industry being important. No, I hear you. I think that's true, but I also wonder just the way that we support things now, and the way that we show appreciation, because it is like there's a certain understanding, you know, like. Well, I'm streaming your song on Spotify. I pay for Spotify. And so Spotify pays you something from that, right? And it's like, yep.
Yeah, I mean,
they do fractions of pennies and such.
Pat, here's an idea for you then.
Yes.
You do a drug church tour, cheap, $5 at the door.
Mm-hmm.
But you take, you for like, you know how like people do like the like, you know, the super chats and stuff on YouTube, whatever.
Yeah.
You do that and like you take people's money and like you'll play the song that they ask for.
You know what? I'm sure as a one-time experiment, if we did a $5 show, but you can over tip at the door, I'm sure on a one-time tour, like as a stunt, we would make much more than we do.
All right. Here's Weed Pin. Again. Fourth time tonight. Thanks, guys.
I mean, I'm not above that. Look.
You could do it like one of those, like they do like the auctions. Like you just like put out like all the songs you're going to play and people can put like a dollar on the song that they want to hear. You keep all the money, but whatever the top 10 money makers are the ones you play.
Yeah, fine.
But then you got to go deep. You got to go pull Walker sometimes, you know?
Yeah, listen, that's fine. I could be.
Oh, Patrick, would you do that with Self Defense Family? Would you do that with Self Defense Family?
Self Defense Family, I'm the problem in both bands. I don't remember lyrics, so my bandmates.
They'll just be playing the songs and you'll just be.
Yeah, I mean.
Looking on, what is the lyrics A to Z .com
Genius or whatever, yeah.
That's like, I didn't mean that.
So.
Oh, that's a good line. All right. God,
shit. Self Defense can be very jammy and make a song out of anything, but Drug Church, they could play most of our discography, most of our catalog. They could play, you know, just by. Taking a moment, thinking about it, and going, okay, fuck it, let's go. I can't at all. at all. I can't remember our lyrics half the time for songs that we've been playing for fucking a year straight.
Yeah, that's cool. Good on them.
Good on me. I've got other things going on in my life. My brain is.
Hey, I'm with it.
My brain's. I'm not. Musicians are simple. I'm an artiste.
Wow.
I like the separation of art from not separation of from person to art. It's separation of artist from musician.
Yeah, I'm like a
galaxy brain over here.
What's the John Lennon song or the John Lennon quote where he says, "I'm an artist. Give me a tuba and I'll make something out of it."
I bet Pat's real good at paintball too.
Oh, of course it would be, except if that little fucking kid.
Let's not trigger Tom.
Butterball.
Yeah, fucking Butterbean over here fucking killing him, but yeah.
Okay, can we, do we have more internet topics?
Right. Do we got anything else? I mean, you're our guru. Bring us to the next place on the dark web.
This is a quick one. These didn't even really get traction. Grammy consideration, fun or not fun?
You know, this got traction in the back circles, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this was group chat haterism. I saw this out.
So
that doesn't really mean anything, correct? Pat, you're the closest to getting a Grammy of the three of us. That doesn't like you could put out one tomorrow, right? Like that just means that you're
trying to get someone to consider you. Yeah.
Right. Like, because I saw a lot of it being posted and people were like, "Yo, congratulations." I'm like, "I don't think this means what people think it means."
No, I mean,
I'd be stoked for them if that's what they want and they fucking win. Awesome. But like, I think people thought that was like that they got nominated.
Yeah. Look, yes.
People got real confused real fast.
That is the, what some people saw as the implication or whatever. No, it doesn't mean anything. Anybody can do it. It's the same, you know, but I mean, maybe I'll make one today. The joke is over. So, whatever, but
are there Grammys for podcasts?
Say it again.
The Grammys for podcasts? They gotta be like a potties.
There is. There's a potties.
Why don't we put us up for consideration, man?
I'm surprised you didn't see this. There was some scandal because all the podcasters are mad that all like the rap podcasters are mad that whoever won the award apparently in most people's view was not it wasn't merited. You know, I mean, so, but I forget the woman's name. Some artist who has gone on to podcasting won, and people were
Bobby Altoff.
People were very dubious, but okay. What do we think? I think it's fun to make memes. I don't know who actually wants a Grammy. Indecision, Most Precious Blood. These are not acts that exist.
We were never considered.
Well, let's make it a deep conversation. Let's have a deep conversation.
Let's do it.
A lot of bands have no greater ambition than to play hardcore shows. And then there are others who either at their outset or over time develop other ambitions.
Sure. I mean, I would want that only so I could like make my mom stoked.
Yes. I mean, I think that
I don't give a fuck.
Right. And for what it's worth, everybody, the bands that are, I don't know how serious every band is, like Scowl put it up. I think Zulu might've put it up.
Jesus Peace did one.
Jesus Peace had one.
Days did one as a joke.
Right. And, but I mean, look, they all might be tongue in cheek to a degree. And I am also going to say, as somebody who either knows some of these bands or has had friendly interactions with other members of the bands, these are self-aware people that it's probably for their mothers too. You know, like even if they,
right, their families, you could be like, here's something that's legitimate to you.
Right.
You don't realize that, you know, Scal may draw fucking 800 kids somewhere, but maybe like their uncle or somebody's, you know, it's like, what do you do? But like, if you can be like, hey, look, you know, we were on the fucking Grammy, you know, website, whatever. Like that's a, you know,
yeah,
it legitimizes the hard work that you do to people that don't know the nitty gritty.
Yeah. And, so with that in mind, I don't know. I'm a difficult person on these subject matters where once an awards thing has been undermined in some ways, you know, it no longer feels legitimate to me. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm very literal with awards where I want it to somehow reflect on reality, you know, like I want it to somehow be like,
how are you going to step down from this? You started, I'm a difficult person. I'm really literal. I'm just a big dummy. Like, where are we?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? Is in comic books, for example, I think one of the awards that you get for comic books or can get is been completely degraded to the point that it's worthless. It's, if they handed it to me, I'd drop it on the floor. But
now, why was it degraded?
Because the standard by which it's measured is no longer tethered to reality. It would be like if you know when people got mad at Jethro Tull for winning. Sorry, everybody. This is incredibly dated reference, but Jethro Tull won. Yeah, what was it? Heavy metal act or whatever. So
yeah, best metal act over Metallica.
So that delegitimizes the thing, and if in future years I was in Metallica and I won that, I would drop it on the floor. I'd say this is. I'd say this has zero meaning. This is just a gala for clowns to get dressed up. But here's the flip side. If I told my girlfriend, yeah, we're not going to the Grammys despite the invite because I'm that sort of dude, she would tell me, you're not that sort of dude today because I'm buying a dress and we're going to the goddamn Grammys. Yeah, right. And that's, you know, look, that's how it can be sometimes. Like I have partners in my comic book stuff that I can't decide the future of their careers by little stances that I want to take on worthless fucking little awards. And, you know, Code Orange, they went to the Grammys, right?
They did. Twice?
Did they go twice? Good for, you know, listen, here's the thing.
I thought they were nominated twice. I could be wrong.
They got to dress up and have fun. And that's what it is for some people. And you know, I've spoken to my girlfriend about not necessarily going to the Grammys, but about this type of thing. And she says, listen, you got to not be such a uptight piece of shit. Like just go to these things and have fun. And, I don't know. I just feel that, there's something to be said for both. Like I respect difficult people. But I also get that difficult people have mothers, you know?
Man, Fiona's really rubbing off on you, boy.
Well, I take partnership seriously. I try not to fuck you guys' lives up. I try not to fuck my comic book partner's lives up, and I try not to fuck Fiona's life up. It's a hard lesson I've had to learn because I'll say things that, you know.
Here's my question, because at the heart of it, it kind of doesn't matter what anyone thinks of them doing it, et cetera, et cetera. It's personal, whatever. I agree largely with what both of you have said, right? A lot of like, why so serious energy, right? But we've talked a lot about how this is the most, get that bag king energy hardcore's ever had, and like get the success.
As far as it being publicly stated.
Right, right, right. Well,
we'd be remiss to be like, there was a lot of hardcore bands that went major that they would have taken that bag, but they were doing it like, well, I don't really want to. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll take the money if there's money. You know, like, sure, this is the first out and out that people are just like,
Yeah, whatever version of success you can make or want, go for it, and we're not going to shame you for that. But right. This one, I don't know what – is this just a continuation? Are we seeing hypocrisy with people kind of clowning on this energy of like, oh, for your consideration? It's like, well, this is the extension of that, right, is looking to commercial success of like – or – commercial, quote unquote, mainstream acknowledgement, etc. I'm over here in a land where I'm like, I don't care really, honestly. But it is interesting because some of the same people who I see going, yo, take the money and run, get the success you can, 100%, awesome, get the commercial, do the thing, then see this and go, wait a second, but don't ask for the Grammy. You know, like, do you guys see that, or is this just kind of like a continuation of a different energy?
Yeah, continuation. Look, it's very hard for me to. I didn't see anybody mad. In group chats, I saw some hate, but I didn't see anybody mad. And you know, look, how mad can you be for a fucking meme?
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
It's not wrong. I think it's worth thinking about. Just think about it. If in one moment you're celebrating successes or wanting people to do what they want to do in whatever way that is, even if it's different than yours. Like, this is the big lesson from me in this all, is that quote-unquote hardcore, this amorphous thing, is not – it is defined for you, by you, hopefully. And what it means for you probably, maybe, almost as my two-year-old is currently fond of saying – maybe yes, doesn't apply to everyone else. So if for someone, you know, look, I see Scowl playing. That's a hardcore band in my book. I see it. Yeah. You know, I see those live videos. That's a hardcore band. And if they want to be considered for the Grammy, more power to them. If you feel different, ain't no one holding your ear to the grill saying you have to support, you have to like, you have to be about it. But just look around and make sure you're keeping that same energy elsewhere. And if you're not, I'm not mad at you. But acknowledging hypocrisy can help you understand yourself better and help you understand whatever bullshit you're on. So anyways, I saw that too and was like, huh, okay. I don't give a shit about a Grammy. You know, maybe someone does. Maybe someone wants their mom to see them on stage or sees the goddamn red carpet and says that would be fun and cool and neat. And why would we not want to do that weird, cool, neat thing? And I'm not trying to hold that from anybody.
There you go. And in other quick hits of the internet, we've got furry getting moshed to death. Did you catch that?
Yes. Should we talk about that?
The problem is I haven't seen any discourse on it. People were like, oh no, here comes the fucking, this is assault. Here comes the fucking whatever. And I didn't see any of that. So maybe the only thing we've got to say is, I don't know. I mean, thoughts and prayers. I hope the furry's all right, I guess.
I mean, it probably just hit him in the fake snout, so you're probably fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't hit actual bone. It was just fake snout.
Yeah.
Light a candle.
Who started the wearing outfits to shows like that, though?
I'm going to say something that it's a post-pandemic turnstile era.
Absolutely not. Thing. There was an early 2000s kid that came dressed like Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, that's fine.
That, like, moshed at like every Jersey show.
That's just good style, fashion.
And self-defense has a girl that brings a guy dressed like Keith? A puppy on a chain. But I'm saying that wasn't.
Yeah, that's a little different.
That wasn't normal. What's and now?
Well, I don't think it's normal now.
We did a tour where, which by the way, now that I say tour, my girlfriend makes fun of me for the way that I do. I have an accent on tour.
No, you could say tour, or you say it more tour,
like T-O-R-E.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you say it a touch more like that, but it's correct American English.
All right, that's fine. I'm self conscious now.
Don't say tour.
But all right, so tour,
my American tour.
So tour. We did a tour where there was multiple clowns. And then I thought I was losing my mind. I thought it was like, remember 2016 where there was fucking clowns were attacking?
Like clowns on the street scaring the shit out of people?
Yeah, like I thought I was losing my mind. Maybe I was haunted or I got a head injury or something. But
someone dosed you with a van?
Yeah, but then I saw a turnstile show where there was multiple clowns in that fucking show too. And this is just the wave. There's a clown wave going on.
A clown wave.
It is who brought it in? I don't know. The clowns that I saw at the shows that I was at was like, I don't know what the language is, like tomboyish young women, you know, like 19-year-old girls that look like they're probably going to a clown academy of some type. You know,
maybe it was like the show was right after school and they just had to get.
Yeah, possible. But I'm saying it's more frequent now than it's ever been in my time in hardcore music is that we have people dressing up. That's all. Yes, there's always been Winnie the Pooh was at shows. There Hulk hands were the mosh du jour for a while. But
mosh chicken, we know mosh chicken. We know,
right? There were dudes that would come to like the Kill Your Idol shows. They came to one dressed as bananas.
Oh, there's a lot of bananas.
I know them too. Yep.
The MPB MPB played Hellfest one year, and our friends all dressed up as the presidents from Point Break.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, I feel like that's how, like, yeah, I mean, like, I remember, like, there's videos of, like, Winnie the Pooh, like, spin kicking during, like, Kill Switch or something at, like, Hellfest or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I wonder who the first person was like, you know what? I spent a lot of money on this goddamn Halloween outfit, and I'm going to fucking wear it.
God bless that person.
The discourse that came in was a... this is why more people aren't coming to shows. Like, oh, this is why all the new people stop going to shows. And I don't think we have enough oxygen for that. Yeah, for the furry getting smashed in the head. Yeah.
Listen, everybody, I can play both sides because I've been around long.
We don't need to, though. We're good.
All right.
This one's done. We're toast on that shit.
So another one I got is the Mexican Coke video, which on Hate 5-6, which exposed even my stepson to Mexican Coke, which was not because I made him. I was watching it in one room, and then 3 days later, he's like, he's telling me about this band where the guy has a gun, and I said, Mexican Coke? And he goes, I think that's it. This is a 9-year-old, by the way. And then we
sat, came here, have a seat, son.
We sat down, and we watched the Mexican Coke set. His mother didn't care for it. He and I both liked it. He kept asking me, do you like the music? And I said, yeah, I like the music. It's kind of, you know, it's something I'm very familiar with. I, I said, I started getting analytical on fucking Mexican Coke with my 9-year-old.
The kid's like, can we just play fucking Fortnite?
If I was in charge of their musical direction, I think I'd probably pull in this direction, and I'd want more extreme out of this. And he's like, I like their masks.
He cut to the quick, man. He got what it was.
But
I'm watching this video now, Bob. I'm not a gun guy.
No.
This looks like a Gatling gun or something from fucking 20 paces and then turn around and shoot at each other.
It's like a comically large sawed-off shock, a double barrel. It's like it does look like it's from a first-person shooter that like with low poly graphics or whatever.
Yeah, I don't really. I'm imagining it wasn't loaded.
No, it's my understanding is. Sorry to ruin this for everybody. My understanding is, and Mexican Coke can DM me if I've got this wrong, but from people that are around them, it's a prop gun. It's inert so that they can actually travel with it. You know what I mean? So that they're not being arrested every night.
I kind of like the vibe.
All right, so quick.
I'm not gonna lie.
Starting a new video game gun based band. What's my band name? Goldeneye? Solid Snake?
House of the Dead?
House Prop of the Gun. Dead's not bad.
House of the Dead is pretty good. But you're Hot D at that point. you almost have to have, yeah. I like Goldeneye. You just get that four player mode. You can only be a four piece, right? You have to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking about that the other day because I saw the cover of the Ingrown record, and then the Pain of Truth LP has that gun in the mouth thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of guns going on. The Ingrown
is the most gunny hardcore's been ever.
Maybe.
Like the 90s had a touch of guns, but not as much as now. I think everybody's all in guns.
Which is interesting because I understand everybody. It's an aesthetic. I'm not dumb, but as a person who, I have such a weird relationship with guns. It's going to be boring if I get into it, but as a person that is curious about the actual thoughts around guns, I don't hear too many bands actually address Second Amendment style conversation.
Pretty sure Ingrown does.
Oh, then I'm in.
Interesting. Yeah, if you haven't, you should dig in. But yes, most do not. That is correct.
But there's also nothing necessarily wrong with aesthetic. Like how many bands use a crucifix or other Christian imagery in an obviously, if not satirical, a non-promotional way, and it's purely aesthetic, right? Or fascist imagery is out, but there was a number of bands that used to use fascist imagery. It's just there is nothing wrong with aesthetics. I'm just always curious, like, oh, do they really like guns? Is anybody a proper gun fan in this group?
True. Okay. Do we have anything else on hardcore? Because I'd love to talk some more hardcore. We've got all the internet hardcore we can.
Can I announce a show?
Oh yeah. Yes, please.
It's not mine.
Yes, please.
Although
you got one to announce too. Everyone.
Huh?
Yeah, you got. Yeah, go.
Well, when you listen to today, October 17th, Happy Edge Day to all of those who celebrate. Mm-hmm. Which I, from that response, neither of you guys saw.
I was the first one. I was the
you
first
were the OG. One. No, I know.
First to
I,
me.
I was like, I don't fucking. I'm Edge Day every day.
Yeah. Well, like, no, I just don't know what it is. Like, is it because
it's the
of
last? It's the last 10-yard fight show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you fellas, and no disrespect, it's a 10-yard fight.
It's a TYF.
I'm not all those who celebrate. You know.
Well, I mean, I celebrate the. I mean, I'm not celebrating it.
Because you're not celebrating.
I'm celebrating because I'm straight edge. Yeah. I mean, probably most of the people that were involved in that show, if you went through that flyer,
yeah,
we're talking about like a 75% to 80% attrition rate.
Yeah, no doubt.
But so the show I wanted to announce first and foremost, Saturday, December 16th at Amityville Music Hall in beautiful Long Island, New York. Incendiary does a holiday show every year.
Yeah, they do.
So it's at the AMH, which if you know the venue and you know Incendiary, it's woefully small for them. So it'll sell out like pretty much immediately. It's all the proceeds will be donated to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of so it's LLS.org. It's Last Laugh, Pink Mist, Rule Them All, which I'm psyched they're playing shows again. And Incendiary, it's the ninth annual holiday benefit show. And then they're doing raffles that are going towards Kyle from the fight, his fight against cancer. So Saturday, December 16th, if you hear this and the tickets are still on sale, you should get one. Shout out to Incendiary and Scanlan for always doing something cool like this every year.
Yeah, big shout out to all the people involved.
Sorry for this question that's unrelated to a nice event doing good things for people. Is there another venue on Long Island or no?
Of that size?
No. Really. I mean, I always play AMH, and it occurred to me, wait, is there a middle venue, right? Because Incendiary, I understand this is an underplay and it's a cool thing, and I get all that. But
and they do it every year, even when there were other venues.
Okay,
yeah.
So
the next Coliseum one is was booked.
Yeah, it was booked. the next one's like the Paramount. So there's like a huge difference between like the AMH and the next one, because there was the other place that was in Amityville that we played that I'm blanking on that closed. But I heard cool things about stuff happening with AMH that will change that.
Okay.
But yeah, shout out to Incendiary.
Cause it's just, shout out to Kyle. I think about these cities, not cities, but locales like Long Island that, and sometimes cities too, that just don't have X type of venue. Either they don't have a small venue, they don't have a medium sized venue, or they don't have a large venue. Most of them have large venues, but not all of them will do aggressive music, but it's just an interesting, you know, like the impact that it has on the ecosystem is just fascinating. If anybody cares, but
right. Like, yeah. Like where, you know, I know they do like shows in Massapequa that are pretty, you know, I don't know how much bigger or smaller it is than AMH, but, there are a ton of shows coming up. 108 and Judge are playing in Brooklyn this weekend.
Oh yeah.
Very excited about that. Next, the weekend after that, Philadelphia is the place to fucking be. Unbroken and Blacklist that are playing two nights, the 27th and 28th. It's a Friday and Saturday at the church.
Who else is playing?
Yeah. Who else is playing? Friday night. Can someone pull it up? Because somehow my mouse stopped working.
Oh, no.
Oh, Friday night, it's like entry.
Yep. Hold on. We're super old now. Homebroken shows Philadelphia.
Yeah, my mouse is really.
All right. Here we go. All right. The 28th, October 28th.
October 27th first, if you want to do that.
27th. Oh, shit. That's right. Okay. Goddamn.
So Blacklist is headlining Friday. Unbroken is headlining Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The 27th show is.
Entry.
Entry. Crashing Forward, Entry, and Damnation AD.
Good gig.
And then tell us about that October 28th gig.
That's a little bit Scarab.
Mm.
New hot shit from Philly. Magnitude.
Okay, yeah.
Our boys.
New LP out now.
New LP. Very excited to see them again and get to play with them again. Spiritual Cramp.
Oh,
yeah.
Which is a nice little wrinkle in this little gig.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Pretty psyched. So and then we play right after them in Decision, right after Spiritual Cramp, then Blacklisted, and then Unbroken.
That's cool.
Hell yeah.
It's an early show. So if anyone who has tickets, it starts at like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock and has to be over because there's another show happening at the church that night. The way it is looking, that Friday and Saturday will be games 1 and 2 of the World Series.
Whoa.
Phillies look pretty good. Yeah. So chances are the Phillies are going to be in the World Series.
Wow.
Mm.
So I don't know how it'll be home or away, but if the Phillies are playing at home the same day as those shows, Philadelphia will be insane.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And I'm pretty psyched on that because you know what? I finally have come around on Bryce Harper.
Mm. Respect to Bryce Harper.
Real good ball player, and I like him a lot.
Yeah, I'm with it. Fully.
I want to know why Brendan Marsh is always wet, though. That's my question. Me and Brian Wallace are having this conversation. I'm like, that dude's always wet.
Yeah.
And I don't know how. And then Pat, at probably when you're hearing this, because we put it out at 6 a.m. and there's only a few real psychos listening to this at 6 a.m.
He got that big
a very big announcement that I'm very excited for. And it's going to be a big tour for his band. I'm very excited to see his band play with this band because I love them both very much. Hmm. Once you hear it, you'll be very excited. Pat, are you doing any – I don't know how far you've gotten on this. Are you able to do any off shows? Are we going to hear about you guys playing in like an Italian restaurant and fucking, Billings?
Across the medical center maybe?
200 cap in Albany to my knowledge.
Hell yeah. Love to hear
that. That's an off day show?
Off day show.
Hell yeah. Love to hear that.
Should be really
fun. What venue is that?
What's that?
What venue is that?
I don't know. I don't pay attention, I'll be honest.
The VF3.
You know what? It's one that I think it's one I haven't been to at all, but I don't know. I'm psyched. We had a good time. I have a relationship with Albany, mostly positive.
A relationship. Motherfucker, you were born and raised there.
Yeah, no, but
I had a relationship with them in passing.
What I'm saying is I haven't always loved, I feel like sometimes that scene is really good and other times that scene is really hurt. And, shout out to anybody who has worked to make it good. It's just sometimes I'm more psyched to play there than other times. Yeah, that's all.
So here's the way you put that in a way that people find kind, because this is what you're saying. You love Albany, but you don't always like it.
Yeah, you know what? I guess I'll...
I know, you don't like the big L word, but you can use it. Come on. You did think about trying to go to every Albany in the world. Like, come on, bro. What are you, that's true. What are we talking about?
You have a list?
Yeah, there is a list.
There's an Albany, Indiana, right? Or is that New Albany?
Well, there's an. I've been to Albany in where'd you say? I've been to the one in the Pacific Northwest.
Indiana. There's one in Oregon.
There's one in Georgia.
There's one in California, right. I believe. There's a lot of Albanys.
There's one 5 hours from me, I think.
That's correct.
Let's see. Yeah, there's a lot of.
You better get on it. And yeah, I mean, I think before we end, I think not to get all political. But I just want to talk about, because I feel like people, we don't want to kind of be like, isn't hardcore's grand while the world is burning? But just like our thoughts and like kind of, or my thoughts, I won't speak for everybody. Everyone else can chime in if they'd like, for all the innocent folks that are really dealing with a lot of craziness and death and sadness over in Israel and in Gaza. And it's a fucking terrible situation that the United States of America does nothing to help, and they only add to fuel to the fire. And I hope, that the loss of innocent lives is ends soon, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know nobody's like listening to Axe to Grind to be like, I wonder what they think. I feel like we'd be stupid not to bring that up and sort of at least kind of know that it's on our minds as well, and not just like we us talking about like the fucking furry that got moshed into.
Well, I didn't.
Yo, everybody got to check out that Lethal 7-inch. No, go ahead, Patrick.
I didn't want to get into it too much.
I mean, I don't think we need to give our fucking feelings.
No, sorry.
I mean, I think any decent human being could be like,
no, that's not what I meant. I meant I didn't want to get into. We've talked about how bands are not explicitly political in 2023.
Correct.
And there's some positives to that, and then there's also some negatives to that. And this moment, which I find fascinating for reasons that are admittedly completely academic and nerdy and not with, nobody should see it as a reflection that I don't care about people's lives. It's just, there's a fascinating thing going on, which is, there's a lot of people who talk about a lot of things all day, every day. And then they have chosen not to comment on this thing. And that's interesting. I'm never that guy that thinks that I'm never taking your name if you don't talk about a thing.
I have something to say. Right.
But it's interesting when you position yourself as the person that always has a thing to say, and then there's certain things that you simply will not touch for any reason. And that's interesting, but I don't suppose any band's got to say anything. You know where I stand on that. But I did notice that Show Me the Body, Zulu, maybe a couple others had comment on this. And I just want to say that I haven't even examined their fucking position. It doesn't matter what I think. It's just that I think it is, as much as I'm burnt out and I say this all the time about punk politics, I do think that this is a topic that requires some level of bravery to talk about, regardless of your position, which is what makes it brave. Because you're getting killed no matter which way you go on this. And for that reason, I think it's, I gotta give like a little salute to the bands that are not, you know, you're going to lose fans, put simply. And if to the bands that are game for that, I think that that's like, I salute you. It's not the way I would go, because frankly, nobody's going to like this answer. There's just certain shit that's above my pay grade and I don't have answers to, and I don't.
And you're not going
to
know the nuances and.
Yeah. And you guys can both attest to the fact that I'll get murdered on nuances, because I'll just.
Right.
I'll start talking about, you know, I get very, for lack of a better word, I get autistic about the shit where I got to say, oh, but you know, like Tom, this drives Tom insane because I always sound like I'm justifying or equivocating positions that I don't even hold because
right,
I'm like,
right.
Because I'll go, wait a second. Wait, no, we have to account for this. And when you're talking about the principle of a thing, people say, yo, fuck your fucking details. You know what I mean? So, it's there's a couple of reasons that I don't want to talk on this. Mostly it's that I'm not qualified, but more to the point, it's that if I was to begin talking about it, I'm sure that I'd make everybody unhappy. But to the bands that are jumping out on this, even if I haven't even really looked at your positions, but even if I disagreed a lot, I would still say, well, you know what? Courage your convictions to talk on this one, because this one is not easy. It's not like, respectfully, and we've talked about this, saying, hey, I love hardcore music and I'm against racism. Not a particularly difficult stance to take in 2023. This one is different. This one, you're getting murdered in all
this one's fascinating, because it seems like there's divides that are both implied and stances that are trenched, and that somehow there's, I mean, let me just put it this way. I saw something where older guy in a hardcore who a lot of respect, and actually was saying something very thoughtful, but I read it and I was like, it was decidedly like for one side, but I couldn't tell which side.
That's interesting.
It was for. It was really interesting. And I think that that says a lot. Yeah. Look, I have some strong feelings on this.
It's heartbreaking to watch.
It's heartbreaking to watch. And so, yes, talk to people who you can have conversations about this. If you don't know what you think, hopefully you have some good people in your life who are willing to talk with you about it. And guess what? Neither of any of the people you need to know everything, but you can start trying to figure things out and try to get real information to the best of your ability. Who knows what that looks like, but I will tell you this, there's a lot to the story. So, dour note to end on, but shout out to the free world and trying to make it a freer one.